Part 4, Section 25. I appoint you, Lua, as a herald of the covenant. When the friends urged the master to rest and conserve his energy, he told them that sometimes material rest could rob man of spiritual rest. The time was short, the hours precious. Whenever he thought of setting down his burden of work, Abdu'l-Bahá said he could hear the voice of his beloved father, Baha'u'lláh, calling to him, "March! March!" In the midst of this endless activity, Abdu'l-Bahá reluctantly agreed to the constantly repeated request of the believers that he permit Juliet Thompson to paint his portrait. Miss Thompson has recorded her memory of that first sitting in her studio in New York City. "Never shall I forget that day the master was posing for his portrait. He said to Lua, 'This makes me sleepy.' I said, 'Tell the master to go to sleep, Lua. I can paint him while he sleeps.' The master closed his eyes. He sat perfectly upright, still as a statue. I was so awed that I could not paint. Suddenly his eyes flashed open. It seemed to me that the room shook as he began to speak. I was shattered by the power as he unveiled to our eyes the meaning of the covenant of God." During those awe-inspiring moments, Abdu'l-Bahá explained the great covenant that God had made with mankind. He said that God will never forget man, but will always, from time to time, send down a prophet to guide him. Moses was such a prophet. So was Christ and Muhammad. So was Baha'u'llah. Abdu'l-Bahá spoke of the great covenant of Baha'u'llah, God's prophet for this day. He told them of Baha'u'llah's will and testament, written in Baha'u'llah's own hand, which appointed him, Abdu'l-Bahá, to be the center of his father's faith, to whom all should turn. In that city of New York, Abdu'l-Bahá spoke many times of the covenant of God. It was the strong rope to which all believers could cling, confident that no human power could divide, dismember, or break up the Baha'i faith in the future. The enemies of this cause, both within and without the faith, would take their axes to chop at the roots of this sacred covenant, but the blades would break off in their hands, the scars would heal over, and the faith of Baha'u'llah would go on unimpaired and undivided, unlike the religions of the past, which succumbed to division and sex. In New York, during his visit, Abdu'l-Bahá read before a general assembly of followers Baha'u'llah's newly translated Tablet of the Branch, in which Baha'u'llah had clearly and emphatically appointed Abdu'l-Bahá as his successor. New York City henceforth became designated as the City of the Covenant of God. We can imagine the impact of Abdu'l-Bahá's words upon such a prepared channel as Lua. Abdu'l-Bahá's words unfolded before the eyes of both Lua and Juliet, a fresh vision of the greatness of the Baha'i faith. They realized in a flash that this glorious message was not for the Baha'is alone. It was for all mankind. They began to better understand just who Baha'u'llah was. There would never be any doubt in their minds that the promised one for all mankind had appeared on earth in their day and that his name was Baha'u'llah. They were now standing before his son, spellbound and enraptured by his words. Lua and Juliet both were to tell that moving story many times, how they were captivated by his voice, transported to another world. Juliet found herself still staring at her empty canvas. She had not touched her brush to it. The magnitude of the meaning of the words spoken by Abdu'l-Bahá paralyzed the women. "They dared not look upon his face," they said. "The light was blinding. The very walls vibrated. If ever human beings had heard the voice of God on earth speaking through a perfect channel, they felt that they had heard it on that wondrous day. They admitted their inability to recapture the moment or to describe it. All either of them could do was to make a feeble attempt to describe the mystery of what took place. Human language was entirely inadequate. Several times, they said, they were both on the verge of fainting away. When I finally became aware of my surroundings, Juliet recalled, I could hear the soft sobbing of Lua. Poor Lua. She had scarcely recovered from the awesome majesty of what had just taken place when the Master looked directly into her eyes and proclaimed, I appoint you, Lua, as a herald of the covenant. Go forth and proclaim this truth. Lua's tears vanished. She stood before us, transfigured. In that moment, I realized the great station to which she had been called by the Master. She was a flame of God. Like metal put into the fire, all that had been the Lua of the past was burned away, and she now had taken on the characteristics of the fire. Recreate me, O beloved Master, she cried, that I may truly herald thy faith. Then Lua looked at me. She could see the tears that filled my eyes. She did not know that they were being shed in happiness at the wonder and beauty of the scene I had been privileged to witness. She thought that my spirit was feeling deprived. Out of the tenderness of her heart, she turned to the Master and pleaded gently, Juliet wants to be recreated too.